we go around the NHL now, so let's bring in Chris Hyen from the Chicago Tribune. Chris, welcome back to the show. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, thanks. Thanks for taking some time. Obviously, a lot going on around the Chicago Blackhawks. Duncan Keith is slash on Charlie Coyle. He's been given an in-person hearing, means it could be more than six games. Your initial thoughts on this, Chris, do you expect Duncan Keith to miss playoff games?
I do. This morning, I was kind of wondering whether or not the NHL would go past five games. But now that we know he's having an in-person hearing, which likely means a six game or more suspension, I do expect some sort of punishment in that area to come down. And when you look at what Duncan Keith did to Charlie Coyle last night, it certainly looks like it's warranted. You can't just swing your stick at somebody's face and expect a slap on the wrist from the NHL.
Yeah, that's the thing. And the other thing that complicates it for Keith is he's done it before, the Jeff Carter in 2013. For a league that is big on making statements about certain things, and we can take different stands on those statements, there's not much argument that you can't swing your stick into a guy's face. What's the story with Keith on this? He's a very good player. Is he a guy who just snaps once in a while, or what sort of personality is he packing?
It seems that way. He's always had a bit of an edge to him. And anybody that has watched him play and has talked to him or has played with him will always say he always plays with that bit of an edge. And it's part of what makes him such a really great player and a Conn Smythe Trophy winner, a Norris Trophy winner. It's that edge that keeps him driving. But in moments like that, when you're frustrated and you're fed up and you want to retaliate, even though the best move would be to just get up and keep skating, sometimes the emotions get the better of him. And that edge, he goes over the edge, I guess you could say. And that's part of his personality. And maybe it's a bit of a weakness when it comes to his game, that sometimes he does get a little too riled up and this could happen. And as you mentioned, the Jeff Carter thing, that happened in the Western Conference Finals a few years ago. And in a big moment, he took he made a really dumb play, and it cost him a game in the Western Conference Finals. And now he could be facing one or two, maybe three, who knows how long, out of the first round of the playoffs in this series.
Yeah, that's the thing that strikes me. The Blackhawks are obviously a very good hockey club, but they're not so deep, and they're certainly not in the clear in terms of the standings that they can do without a guy like Keith for the end of the regular season. And I would assume, I wouldn't be shocked if he got what amounted to the first playoff round. I know games are said to be worth more in the postseason, but the fact is he's done the exact same thing before. He's a repeat offender in every sense of the word, and if they want to make a statement, and they do so, the Blackhawks could be in trouble on the back end because they lean on those guys hard already.
Yeah, it's a very thin blue line that really can't afford to lose one of those top three guys, whether it's Keith Seabrook or Nicklas Hjalmarsson. They really haven't replaced Johnny Oduya from a year ago. Trevor Van Riemsdyk plays a lot of minutes for the Blackhawks, but the quality of play you're getting out of Van Riemsdyk is not what they were getting out of Johnny Oduya. So they need those top three guys to play 25 to 30 minutes a night in the playoffs. And I think if the Blackhawks get away with just one or maybe two games that Keith will miss in a first-round series, I think they could probably consider that a fortunate punishment almost. If it comes back that Keith just misses the rest of the regular season, they should stand up and start clapping because it was really bad, and the NHL could really lower the boom on them, and like you said, especially given Keith's history in this area.
Chris Hyen from the Chicago Tribune joins us on the Jason Gregor Show. The Hawks are 6 points behind the Stars and the Blues for that Central Division lead. The Blackhawks have been struggling over the last 10 games with only three wins, Chris. What's been the biggest issue for the Hawks in the last 10?
Where do we start here? let's see. One, Corey Crawford is out. And, 2 weeks ago, the Blackhawks said he was day-to-day. with an upper body injury. That was 2 weeks ago. And, you know, Crawford hasn't been skating yet. I'm not sure there's any indication he's going to be anytime soon. We'll see what happens over the coming days here. Patrick Kane, Artemi Panarin, you know, the two of the most dangerous scorers in hockey, have slowed down significantly. They only have 2 goals in their last 10 games combined. You know, the Hawks' even strength scoring hasn't exactly lit the world on fire all season, and it hasn't over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, the blue line is thin. So all these problems are catching up with them now. They were able to mask a lot of these problems because of Crawford, because of the Kane line, because of their really good power play. They were able to win, you know, especially in January, they were able to win a bunch of games there because of those players. But now with Kane struggling, with Crawford out, you know, you're seeing nobody's been able to pick up the slack, and that's where the struggles have come from.
Chris, you know, with only 5 games to go, I don't know that despite their struggles, they're going to drop a lot. But the thing is, where the Blackhawks sit now, if they drop a couple of spots, you know, if they don't get things right, and, you know, given what might happen with this suspension, they're looking at a lot tougher road to the Stanley Cup than they might have been thinking a couple of weeks ago.
That's exactly right. And I think the nightmare scenario is they do not want to fall to that first wild card spot. Right now they're 4 points ahead of the Predators for third place in the Central. If they fall that first wild card spot, the way it's shaping up now, they'd have to go on the road in round one to face either the Kings or the Ducks, who are kind of jockeying for first place in the Pacific there. And that is not what you want if you're the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, the Kings are the only team that have knocked them out of the playoffs in the last 3 years. The Ducks came a game away from knocking them out of the playoffs last year. And the prospect of having to face one of those two teams in the first round and then the other one in the second round is basically the nightmare scenario for the Hawks. They want to be able to finish in third place, get an opponent you're familiar with maybe in St. Louis, or get a team that's been unproven in the playoffs in Dallas, and go from there and see if you can meet LA or Anaheim down the line in the Western Conference Finals. But they need to stay ahead of Nashville, because I think they're in big trouble if they draw LA or Anaheim in round one.
Chris Hine joins us from the Chicago Tribune talking the Chicago Blackhawks. This is year 8 in Chicago for Joel Quenneville as the head coach of Chicago. Could you say, obviously still a lot of hockey to be played, but could you say this is the best year Quenneville's done coaching the Hawks, simply because they've had a target on their back now for the last 5 seasons, and they still continue to move along at a pretty good pace?
It could be. I think last year was a pretty good coaching job by Quenneville to get them to that Stanley Cup. I think with what they endured off the ice and losing their equipment manager, Clint Rice, you know, losing Patrick Kane to a broken collarbone and still managing to get in the playoffs last year, and then navigating the playoffs all the way to the Stanley Cup, I think I would make the argument that last season might have been Quenneville's best coaching job. This season, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's done well behind the bench. He's moved into second place all time in career wins. He's still got a lot of talent to work with, which always helps. He still have, you know, Patrick Kane has been healthy all year. Jonathan Toews has been healthy all year. The Hawks made a good signing in getting Artemi Panarin over from Russia. So it's been a good coaching job. I wouldn't say it's his best. I would still make that last year.
Chris, you mentioned Panarin, and of course a lot of headlines this year, and justifiably so. He's had a tremendous year, and the Calder talk is rampant in every NHL city, including Edmonton with Connor McDavid. I wonder, when you look at Panarin, we're talking about the final stretch drive of 5 games now, and then we're talking National Hockey League playoff games. We know what happens then. Space tightens up. The physicality picks up. There's not as much room to skate. When you look at his game, how does he fit into playoff hockey around here? Because he was a considerable part of the success to this point.
That's a really good question. I think that's something we're not going to know the answer to until it actually happens. You just look at the way teams are being a little more physical with him in that line and kind of limiting them down and when they try to enter the zone. I think he's having some trouble with the physicality over the last couple of games here. And like you said, especially if they run into a team that's known for its physicality, like the Blues or the Ducks or somebody like that, I think he could have a problem. But he is playoff tested over in Russia, and it'll be interesting to see how he translates over here. Skating on a line with Patrick Kane, tends to open up the ice a little bit for you because Kane attracts so much attention himself. So I wonder just how much that's going to come into play in a playoff series. But the slump he's in right now is concerning for the Hawks. It's concerning in that he's not producing. And he was in line to make a significant chunk of money in terms of bonuses if he finished in the top 10 among forwards in points this year. It doesn't look like he's gonna get there now because this slump has kind of put him down in that race. So the Hawks are saving money there, but I think they would rather have Panarin playing well going into the playoffs if it meant having to pay him a little extra money.
Chris, how has Andrew Ladd looked since rejoining the Chicago Blackhawks?
He looked good over the weekend. Three goals in two games, including the winner against Vancouver. I think that was his best stretch of play there. Before that, as Joe Quenneville said, he looked basically all right. But the Hawks are expecting a little more than all right when you bring in somebody like Andrew Ladd and pay the kind of price the Hawks paid to bring him in here. Like he's been fine. He hasn't been a disaster, but that line hasn't exactly lit the world on fire. The Taves Hossa Ladd line. I think they were expecting the scoring to pick up a little more on that line when Ladd came in here. Over the weekend it did, but it seems like whenever the Hawks have run into a good team, a playoff contending team over the last month, they just can't seem to get things going, whether it's the top line or any other line, really. It's been a while since they've beaten somebody that's a playoff caliber team. And so Ladd's been okay, but the Hawks are hoping for a little more than okay once April comes around.
Chris, one last one. With five games to go in the playoffs coming, I don't see a chance for Joel Quenneville to rest any of his key guys. And we've talked that blue line's a little bit thin anyway. The club's not playing well. You need to be right going into the playoffs. Has the thought about this club getting knocked off right off the top in the first round entered your mind? Because it certainly has mine.
Yeah, definitely. With the way they've played over the last couple of weeks, I think that's definitely come into play as a realistic possibility for this team, especially if they have to go on the road in round one. If you had asked me that back in, say, February, I would have said, I think the Hawks are at least bound for the Western Conference Finals. But right now, given how the other teams are playing around them and how they're playing, I think it's a very real possibility, depending on who they get in that first round. I actually think of all the teams they could draw in that first round matchup, I think even though Dallas has had their number this year, I wonder how Dallas is going to fare in a playoff series, given the amount of goals that Dallas gives up. I think the Hawks might be able to take advantage of the Stars' relative lack of playoff inexperience and the amount of goals they give up to maybe win that series, even though Dallas has owned them during the regular season here. That being said, it hasn't looked good for them against the Stars at times this year. It hasn't looked good for them against the Blues. It hasn't looked good for them against the Kings, and the Ducks have outplayed them as well. So it's a very real possibility that they are gone this year by the end of April.
And last one for you, Chris. The Hawks currently sit in third place in the Central Division with 95 points. The Stars and Blues have identical records with 46, 22, and 9. Who do you think is going to be the Central Division champion at the end of the regular season, Dallas or St. Louis?
Oh, I don't, I'm not, I'm, if you put a gun to my head, I guess I would say St. Louis right now. I like the way St. Louis has been playing, especially on the defensive side of things the last couple of games here. I think Dallas finishes in second. I do think something just tells me that the Hawks hang on to third place over the last couple of games here. And I do think you see Blackhawks stars in that first round. St. Louis will draw Minnesota, and I'm going to say the Ducks win the Pacific and draw the Predators in the first round. That's how I see things shaking out here. I think St. Louis has enough experience on their team to close out the Central Division on top this year.
Chris, I appreciate your time. Thanks for this. The Blackhawks aren't in action again until Friday, so enjoy a couple days off, and we'll chat with you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune.